Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read, where we're going to be talking about Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone chapters 13, 14 and 15. I'm Tom.
And I'm Gifton. Hey, it's nice to see everyone again.
I'm not going to bother pointing out the flaw in that.
Through the magic of electricity. Oh, God.
All right, so
last week I made a big deal about the... that when Neville masturbated, I said that he used the spell Scourgio to clean up his mess. And the spell is actually Turgio. I think my spell is better, personally.
I mean, it sounds like... It sounds more cleany.
Yeah, like, it sounds like scour pad, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so... But yeah, I looked it up and the spell is Turgio.
Well, we've got a little note for JK Rowling there.
Well, maybe like Turgio would actually be more appropriate in that scenario because like turgid means like hard and rigid, right? So maybe that's like a masturbation specific cleanup spell. Oh, Jesus. So yeah, that is further correction. So if you were going to email in about that, then... I mean, you can still do it if it makes you happy, but we're not going to address it again.
You might have already done it.
Oh my God, yeah, because we are talking from the past.
We are.
But you're listening to this in the future, but what will be your present?
We're warping time and space.
Yeah, right? We're warping time and space, Marty.
I also have a thing.
Yeah.
So I looked this up.
Yeah.
And all three hoops... Yes. In Quidditch are worth 10 points.
Really?
So say Pottermore and Wikipedia.
That seems like redundant.
Well, it's just three goals.
Yeah, but why not just have one hoop?
Because then you would never, the hoop keeper would just stay in front of it and...
Yeah. No, like they do in almost every other sport.
I guess. You just make the hoop bigger.
Yeah, but it's pretty big anyway, to be fair. Like the main one.
I feel like they're all the same size as well.
Maybe they're all the same size, but just like the two on the side are definitely positioned lower.
Oh, yeah. In the films, they are. Yeah.
So are they not in the books?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it specifies.
Oh, my God. This is so like mind warpy. We're warping things all over the place in this episode.
This is the warp special.
Okay. So chapter 13.
Nicholas Flamel.
Nicholas Flamel.
So I... kind of struggled to write anything about this chapter. It all sort of felt a bit fillery.
Yeah.
It's like she had to call it something.
I'm just trying to think of her, like, going through what chapter names to call it. She's like, okay, let me call it Gobstones. She's like, no, they don't play Gobstones in this chapter. Let me call it Oven. No, they don't use an oven. I know, Nicholas Flamel, that's what the book's about, right? Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
I feel like that was her vibe. I'm struggling to remember now how it starts.
Okay, well, it starts with they're all still trying to research Nicholas Flamel.
Yeah.
And he's not in any of the books, which we talked about last week. And then, but Harry has less time than the others because he has Quidditch practice three times a week.
Yeah.
And then Wood tells him and the rest of the team that their next match against Hufflepuff, Snape is going to be refereeing.
Oh, yes. Like, he'd asked specifically to referee.
Yeah.
Which Harry thinks is him being a twat because he wants to, like, give Slytherin the upper hand. Which
yeah.
I'm sure is actually probably, like, a benefit to it. Obviously, we know that Dumbledore probably asked him so to stop another Harry's Broom Going Mad event happening.
Yeah. But, like, it seems to me that Snape has such a clear idea of what's going on that Quirrell is evil.
Yeah.
And he was literally doing a counter curse to the curse that Quirrell was, Jinx, whatever, to the thing that Quirrell was doing on Harry's broom earlier.
Yeah.
And, like, so him and Dumbledore must be... Why don't they just stop him now?
I think I can only imagine, right... That aside from Dumbledore being a sadist, as we have established, that he doesn't quite know what the deal is. And I feel like maybe Dumbledore doesn't want to act too soon in case... I feel like he would rather Quirrell be in the vicinity where he can work out what is happening properly, then Quirrell like get scared and flee, because then Dumbledore doesn't know what Quirrell will be doing outside of the school.
Yeah, it's a case of like they haven't quite got the evidence
yet,
so they're trying to, I don't know, catch him in the act or something.
Obviously, because Quirrell has Dumbledore in the back of his head, has Voldemort in the back of his head, I assume Voldemort is doing like occlumency so that Dumbledore and Snape can't read Quirrell's mind, so they can't tell what the actual deal is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that is all going on, but Snape knows. He literally confronts Quirrell about it.
I mean, okay, right, so that's one of my points a bit towards the end of the chapter. I did have sort of a point about them in the common room, going back to Harry, because they're all in the common room, and this is when Harry first, when he first remembers who Nicholas Flamel is, right?
Well, this is when, so after he goes back to the common room and tells Ron and Hermione that Snape's going to be a referee, and yeah. Oh, what shall I do? And they have Neville a little panic. Neville shows up
yeah.
with his legs locked together.
Yeah.
Like, leg locker. Just, yeah. Like having bunny hopped his way up, and it says, and when he falls through the portrait hole, the whole room fell about laughing.
Yeah.
Which in that moment, whether they knew it or not, Every Gryffindor was going, oh, you know what? Say what you will about Malfoy. He knows physical comedy.
Oh, I feel like Neville is, whenever I think of him, I think of like, he just reminds me of the two Ronnies. You know, like for all our many American listeners, I'm sure that was a British sitcom. No, like it was like a sketch show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
From like the 60s, I think, /70s. Yeah, but Neville was just very much that. Anyway, yeah, but what I wanted to say is that Harry says that him and Ron like playing Hermione at wizard's chess because it's the only thing that she loses at, and he thinks it would be good for her.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do they feel the need to bring Hermione down a peg? Because she's... I just thought... That's. I think this is like their rampant sexism. I really do. They're just like, yeah, she needs
this woman's
to,
getting above her station.
Yeah, like she needs to suck at something, and it's like, dude, just like chill out. Yeah. So he gives his last chocolate frog that Hermione gave him to Neville to cheer Neville up, and then Neville gets out. He gets a Dumbledore card in the thing. And then Harry reads the card, and then he's like, oh my God, I remember. On the card, it says what Dumbledore's famous for. It says he's famous for the famous defeat of Grindelwald, for discovering the 12 uses of dragon's blood, and for his work in alchemy with Nicholas Flamel.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, shit, yeah. Oh, Hermione's like, oh, yes, I know now. He's an alchemist. I've got a book on that. And she goes, yeah, choose this book, or like tome rather,
from that she got out for a bit of light reading.
Yeah, fucking Hermione.
And then Ron says a thing. Ron says, well, no wonder Flamel wasn't in recent wizarding accomplishments or great wizarding things of the 20th century. Because it is not recent or in the 20th century. He's 600 odd years old. And actually, looking back at the titles of those books they were looking at, they're all like modern wizarding developments. And like, I think she was quite careful to put that in the titles.
Right.
To make all the titles are, you know, modern wizarding world developments and notable events. Which is quite, okay. I think she was quite specific in including something, you know.
Clever girl.
Yeah. So, I guess that's why he wasn't in the books. So, that puts me in my place.
Oh, God. So they start reading the... Because there is a passage on Nicholas Flamel in Hermione's book. And, it says that he's one of the only known creators or owners of the Philosopher's Stone. And it says what it does, gives the Elixir of Life. And he currently lives like in Devon with his wife, and they're both like 600 and something years old.
Yeah.
And I put like, I'm amazed that Flamel is allowed to keep that stone. It seems just backwards to me that the ministry would allow him to like to personally own and retain a stone that gives like immortality.
And also that turns everything, every metal into gold.
Yeah. That seems like that would have been shut down pretty like...
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's going to upset the economy. If Flamel... I mean, Flamel's going to have to be pretty responsible.
Oh, God. Well, but I don't know if gold is as, like, valuable.
Well, aren't galleons right? made out of gold?
I don't think it's real gold. And if it is, then fucking why would the Weasleys ever spend anything? They would just hoard it like a dragon, right?
But you have to spend gold for it to be worth anything.
I don't think so.
What, you just sit and starve in your pile of gold?
That sounds great. You can never be too rich or too thin, right? So yeah, I just thought that was a bit bizarre. So Neville is sort of amongst this. Neville's been getting really upset because he is very quickly realising what a loser he is. And Harry says to him, Neville, you're worth 12 of Malfoy. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it gets to the Quidditch match, I think is the next thing, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a Quidditch match, yeah.
Yeah, and Malfoy says something shitty to Neville, like, as they're sort of entering the stands or something.
Malfoy is an absolute savage.
He's such a knob.
I mean, he is. He just doesn't give a fuck.
I just don't know what happened to him.
No.
Like, what happened to him as a kid? What is his childhood trauma? Like, seriously.
He's got a problem. Because no one is that horrible to people.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah, he's got literally no redeeming features whatsoever.
No.
Even to his friends, he's a total cunt.
Yeah.
I must imagine he is desperately unhappy from, like, a very young age. So I reckon he wasn't shown much love by... Although his parents do love him, as we come to, like, realise later on.
They probably showed it in that, you know, rich family with 12 yeah. nannies kind of way.
So they just gave him, like, money for things, but never spent any time with him.
Yeah.
So he's just never known... Like, he's never learned compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which a lot of kids haven't by 11, but that's pretty extreme case.
Yeah. When do you learn compassion? That's my new book. Yeah, so anyway, so Malfoy says something shitty and then Neville goes, I'm worth 12 of you, Malfoy. And I was like, fuck off, Neville. Yeah. Like, you would have been better just keeping quiet and going home. Literally, you couldn't have said a worse thing at that moment. And I was just like, oh, God. And then Ron tries to, like, jump in and, like, defend him. And I was like, no, Ron, you should have kept quiet.
Ron just says, you tell him, Neville, without yeah. even, like, looking around.
I would have been like, no, let Neville learn his lesson. If you're going to say something, it better be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, even if you have to practice it beforehand, have a list of 5 retorts that, you know, you're going to use that are going to get the desired result. So, yeah, so the Quidditch match happens. I think Gryffindor win, right?
Gryffindor win in record time.
In record time. And then I think Harry is... He's sort of like hanging about and then he starts to go back to the castle and then he hears... No, he sees or hears Snape and Quirrell on the edge of the Forbidden Forest.
He sees a sort of hooded figure coming out of the main... entrance to the castle yeah. and looking like they don't want to be seen and slinking down towards the forest and he jumps on his broom and follows.
Oh my God, that's it. Yeah, sorry, yeah. And I had totally forgotten that this moment was even in the book.
Yeah, me too.
It was a real surprise to me and I was like, that's quite ingenious of Harry to think of like doing that. So Snape and Quirrell have a conversation and I wish I'd written down what Snape actually says because my thought about it was it seemed really odd what Snape says to him because it was very much sort of in... It reminded me of the way that Snape behaves with Malfoy in Book 6 in that he's like, look, I'm like on your side, I can help you, what are you trying to do? He says something sort of similar, like along those lines, to Quirrell, and then I was thinking, is Snape pretending to be evil again at this point? Like, has he been asked by Dumbledore to pretend to be, like, not necessarily a Death Eater again, but pretend to be dark again?
That's actually a good point, because if Snape suspects that Quirrell's working on behalf of Voldemort, he would have to, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm wondering, do you think she had enough forethought to make that a particular way of him saying that, so it was that?
I mean, I feel like the way it's intended in the book, or certainly the way I read it, was that it was Snape calling Quirrell out for being a, you know,
twat,
dodgy, evil, Dark Lord-headed prick. and saying, you know, I'm on to you.
Yeah.
You've got to decide where your loyalties lie.
Yes, that was the bit that...
But that's a very evil way of putting it.
He does say very well, we'll have another little chat soon when you've had time to think things over and decide where your loyalties lie.
Yeah.
But he says something before that about the dog and stuff. He's like...
Yeah, he said, have you figured out how to get past that beast of Hagrid's yet?
Yes, that's it. So it seemed to me like he was saying... Because that just seemed such an odd thing to say. And it seemed like he was saying, look, like we can... Almost like he was implying that if you find out, we can do this together.
Yeah. Well, bear in mind that we're coming at this from a very we-know-the-full-story perspective. So what it's actually trying to imply for the reader at this point is that Snape is the bad guy and he's bullying Quirrell into figuring stuff out for him. Because Harry thinks that Snape is...
Oh, of course, yeah.
Snape is still the bad guy at this point, and Harry's convinced that Snape is the one trying to get past Fluffy and get through the trapdoor.
Yeah, you're right.
And he hears him, and it seems to Harry that he's bullying Quirrell into, have you figured this out yet? Like I told you, you need to be loyal to me kind of thing.
Yeah,
and we're trying to figure it out from a, well, we know what's actually going on now.
Yeah, I guess so. But then I'm wondering as well if she wrote it to sound like that, or if she wrote it to sound like the Death Eater thing, so that knowing that Harry would think it was the first thing. You know, because I feel like she does do stuff like that. She has done stuff like that where she's put like a thing in the book which means something that we find out in book 7 but sounds like something else at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, like, I don't know. It's the kind of thing that if we asked her now, she would be like, yeah, of course. Like, I was totally thinking about that. And, you know, I mean, I've had it planned out for so long. Like, yeah, right, mate. you know, so that's like the big sort of like bombshell. Not bombshell, really, but that's the most exciting thing that happens in that chapter.
And then, yeah, chapter 14, Norbert.
For those of you who can't see me, I just gave Tom a very like grievous shake of my head.
He did.
Oh god.
Okay, so they're in the library boning up on Nick. So studying Nicholas Flamel.
Yeah.
And wait, no, are they? They've done that now.
They're
looking up the Philosopher's Stone or something.
Yeah, so they're on their way to the library. They pass the door on the Forbidden Corridor or whatever it's called, where Fluffy is, and they can hear him snoring. And I just thought that it seems really cruel to keep such a massive dog inside for like what is going to almost end up being a whole year.
Yeah.
So he's not taken out for a walk. He's not really seeing sunlight.
That is true.
Yeah.
But then, you know, traditionally that is a Cerberus's job.
That's so true, yeah. He isn't in a very sunlit place, is he?
No. No, he's a guardian.
Do you think like he eats and shits like a normal dog?
I hope not. Because... That's going to be a filthy, filthy corridor. Maybe Filch goes in there with a little harp or something.
Yeah.
And just tidies up after Fluffy.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yet again, the guy with no magic has to do all the cleaning in a fucking old castle. See, Dumbledore's a sadist. They head to the library. They're doing reading up on the Philosopher's Stone, and they see Hagrid doing some reading up.
They see him skulking around the library, looking a bit shifty. Got something behind his back. And he says, "You're not still looking up the Philosopher's Stone, are you?" And they're like, "Oh, we found out about that ages ago." Oh, no, you're not still trying to look up Nicholas Flamel, are you? No, we found out about him ages ago.
Yeah, and the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, grumble.
Yeah. And then he shuffles out the library. Hermione's like, what was he hiding behind his back? And then they go to look at the section he was, rummaging in, and it's the dragon bit. And they're like, dragons are illegal.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that since the Dragon Banning Act of 1709, yeah. Everyone knows that. Like, what?
One of my points that I did have before was that seems so odd for Ron to remember that fact.
The year as well. Like, I mean, everyone knows dragons are illegal, but to know the name of the act and the year it was passed, no one knows that about anything.
Yeah, like, I did think, okay, I get that, like, Charlie would have told you in passing about that. But to specifically remember that seems very anti-Ron.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's odd. And then he has a few more facts about dragons that he spills after that. And I'm like, has he got, like... It's the kind of thing that you would remember if you had a particular interest in dragons, if you were Ron, you know? I don't see why he would have that... Why he would retain that information for any other reason.
No, I know. I mean, he says everyone knows that, but I don't think they do.
No, they fucking don't, Ron. You don't know that. You're just a plot device. Jesus, I thought that was super weird.
If creatures like dragons are just sort of wild in the UK, why do they hide them from muggles?
I mean, I guess just because they are magical, and I guess because it's not like...
They're like the wildlife equivalent of wizards versus muggles, like the cows and the muggles and the dragons.
Yeah, and I think because if we saw them, because it's not like they're just lizards, I think because they have got so many magical properties, I think it'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but if it was... I don't know, if it was just sort of commonplace every now and then a dragon flew over.
But I think that...
But is it because they're the blood or whatever, you know, has so much magic in it?
I can only imagine so, and it is like a public safety concern as well. Like, dragons are dangerous.
Well, yeah.
And if they were allowed to just be free...
I guess, but, you know, so are, like, I guess, lions and elephants and stuff and...
People don't usually live in amongst them, or like the lions and stuff are not like around your town. They're kept sort of they live in like the African plains and stuff, right? Or in a reserve. So I guess like they have like dragon reserves in England.
maybe we'll just cut that bit.
So dragons, who are they? Yeah, another point I had was just Hagrid being a fucking douche again with his fucking dangerous pastimes. Because it turns out that Hagrid has a dragon egg behind his back.
Yeah. I mean, I've kind of been defending Hagrid up to this point. But I just can't anymore. not for this. And I don't... They go down to his hut to try and sort of maybe pry some more information out of him, see what he's getting up to. Mm. They try and ask him what else is guarding the trap door.
Yeah.
And Hermione gets a bit flirty with him. Which is weird. And it works.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're so right.
Which is maybe weirder.
Yeah,
Hagrid gets all flushed and says, oh, well, I suppose I could tell you that.
I mean, she is, like, on the verge of womanhood, right? I guess he's just, like, responding to it. Because he doesn't get much female attention of any sort.
No.
It's just his various animals.
Yeah, I mean, he gets very easily manipulated by an 11-year-old girl. who just sort of batting her eyelids at him.
I did have a point about that, not about that, but about because he says, okay, so there's like Professor Sprout done a thing and McGonagall. So he goes through all the professors, and I did think, like, okay, other than, yeah, it's great for the plot, if Dumbledore is so awesome, why did he need to have all the teachers do a thing to protect this fucking stone? It seems like it's like massive overkill and so inefficient. It's just like an inefficient use of resources and time. I mean, first of all, we later find out Dumbledore's protection of the stone was enough, really, you know?
Yeah, and especially if, like, I mean, we'll come to this next week, but especially if all the trials these teachers are going to set up can be overcome by first year students.
Yeah, like, for real. If three kids can overcome this, I'm sure Voldemort can.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit, like, redunculous. Like, Dumbledore should have just kept the fucking stone in his pocket. And it would have been safer than it was at any other point during this entire book. So, yeah, that just seemed a bit, like,
I'm sure we'll get in depth about that next week. Yeah, so the rest of my points about this chapter are basically Hagrid is a fucking moron. Just kind of reiterated about six times.
I did have a point, actually, that... Okay, so Hagrid... Does the egg hatch in this chapter?
Yes, not in this scene, though.
Okay, right, so... the egg hatches and Hagrid's all like, oh, he knows his mummy and that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, Hagrid, you're a real fool. And this is the moment where if I was at least Hermione or Ron, I would have, like, taken Harry aside and been like, I'm not coming to see Hagrid anymore.
Yeah.
And if you want to see him, that's fine, but you can go on your own. I'm done with this. Right, so Malfoy sees the dragon outside Hagrid's hut window.
Yeah.
And my big point is, why didn't Malfoy just tell straight away? Because they go the whole week without Malfoy saying anything. And when he takes Ron's... because basically they send a note to... Hagrid realises what a ridiculous thing it is that he has a dragon after a while. And so they send a note to Ron's brother Charlie.
He, like, concedes to let them send Charlie a note.
So just saying, look, can we send the dragon to go and live at your, like, reservation in Romania, I want to say. Yeah, so, and then, so Charlie sends a note back saying, yeah, that's fine. If you meet us at the top of the astronomy tower on this night, I've got some friends who are flying over. They'll pick up the dragon. It'll be cool. So this note, Ron keeps in one of his textbooks, and Malfoy, like, takes his book bag or something like that when he goes... How does he get it?
Well,
he's in the hospital wing, isn't he?
Yeah, because after one of Ron's visits to Hagrid to help him feed Norbert, because he has to feed him a bucket of brandy and chicken blood every half an hour.
That's a lot.
I mean, why would... What? Hagrid!
But also, why do dragons need brandy? Like, where would you get that in the wild?
That's so true.
I just thought that was such a ridiculous... That's such, like, a little, like, kooky thing. She was like, so they drink brandy. It's like, no, they don't.
No.
They don't have an off license near their fucking habitat. Ugh.
Yeah, that's very true. And Hagrid neglects his gamekeeping duties... and there's bottles of brandy and chicken feathers all over his hut.
That's vicious, man.
And so they're like, they take it in turns to go and help Hagrid feeding Norbert, and Ron gets bitten on one of them and his hand kind of swells up and goes weird and green.
Yeah.
And so he goes to the hospital wing where he has a book with him about, I don't know what about, alchemy, maybe?
Maybe.
And he's got the note from Charlie in the book. Malfoy comes to taunt him in the hospital wing, steals the book with note in it.
Yeah.
And it's not contrived at all.
my God. It's just the whole... I'm not being funny, right? But literally, that note details an activity that is super illegal.
Yeah.
That could cost Charlie his job, could get him imprisoned, and could get those kids thrown out of school.
Yeah.
And they just spend the rest of the week just being like, I hope nothing happens. It's like, no! I would hunt down that note straight away. I'd probably kill Malfoy to make sure that the secret never gets out. Everyone seems super chill about it.
I would, especially... Harry, I get why Harry has an investment in Hagrid. Because, you know, Hagrid... We've talked about it.
Saved him as a baby.
Ron and Hermione are just... He's like a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And they are risking so much. Yeah. So fucking much to get this fucking... And Hagrid doesn't thank them for it.
Yes,
he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't acknowledge it, like, at all. I don't know why they go through with it. They just feel that sense, like, of honour to their friends or whatever.
Oh, God. This is not Japan. Like, get over it. It angers me so much. Because it's being polite to a fault.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's... Yet again, it's the kind of thing that would only happen in a school in the 50s. If this was really happening in England in the 90s, there's no way that those kids would have been like, oh, well, okay, then I guess I'll help.
Yeah.
They're like, no, fuck off. I've got pogs to play with.
Yeah, I mean, he lives in a wooden house, fire-breathing dragon, which Hermione points out to him.
I wish that house had gone up in flames.
Yeah.
And Hagrid had died of smoke inhalation.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm quite wishing death upon him yet.
I do. I mean, what else good does he do for literally the rest of the series? tell me, go on.
No, I mean, yeah. I can't. At one point, Ron says, I think he's lost his marbles, and I think he's right. I think the way Hagrid acts in this chapter, I think he is legit insane.
Yeah, I think he's spent too long alone, too long just with animals, and he is half giant.
Yeah, so this is really the start of Hagrid becoming a true burden on their lives, which is basically all he is.
For real.
Which, until you pointed that out to me, hadn't really occurred to me.
I think it's because whenever I used to read passages... Okay, I'm just going to put this in here, right? Whenever I listen to book 5, I always skip over the Grawp chapter because I can't deal with how fucking ridiculous Hagrid is and the fact they all go along with it. Yeah. But yeah, whenever I used to hear these things, I used to think I would never put up with this nonsense.
No.
There's just no benefit. He brings nothing into their lives.
No, he doesn't. A whittled flute.
He doesn't even make good cakes.
Okay. Here, a point that I had. When they send the note off to Charlie, Charlie's reply, Hedwig comes straight to the window in the Gryffindor common room.
Yeah.
What's the deal with the post in the morning then? Why is that a thing if owls just come straight to common rooms?
I guess it's because that's where the kids are at that time. So if the owls are coming back from their excursion at that time... They know to go there because that's where the kids are having breakfast. Because I think whenever that the owls tend to go to wherever Harry is.
I guess, but it's like there's a moment, it's like they've got in all the post for that day and they're like keeping all the owls with all their letters and stuff on hold. And then it's like, okay, post time, and then a torrent of owls.
I don't think they are. I think it's because obviously the owls are nocturnal. So I think they go and pick up whatever it is. Actually, no, that's bollocks, because he sends plenty of owl things in the daytime.
Yeah. And all the owls arrive at the same time in the morning for the post. There's a whole thing the first time it happens where he's like, oh, crap, it's a flood of owls.
Okay, maybe because those are... I mean, it's just more JK bollocks, you know. That's what we're going to call it for now. More JKB.
JKB. Yeah, like... More just... lol JK.
Yeah, just because post comes in the morning, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's that thing, like, yeah, post comes in the morning, but you might have, like, an Amazon delivery that comes at, like, 6 o'clock, you know, so it's that's, like, the thing.
All right, let's say that.
Yeah. I mean, there literally is no other reason why.
No. Just because post comes in the morning and it's a fun little thing.
Yeah.
But it, when it's...
Also, you don't want a fucking flurry of owls flying over your breakfast in the morning.
No, but
they're
that's
all
what,
gonna shit but that's, in your cornflakes.
That's what.
There's no magical charm to protect your food from droppings.
No, that's what happens though.
Yeah, she didn't think that one through, did she?
They all have shitty breakfast.
Oh, can you imagine? I imagine Neville going like, "Oh, I'm yawning." Just a massive owl takes a shit in his mouth. And everyone's like, oh, "That's Neville."
Classic Neville. Yeah.
I feel like Neville needs his own sort of like 90s style sitcom, like within the Harry Potter series.
He needs his, like, he needs like theme music.
Yeah, he walks around school, but it's not very cool. It's Neville.
Yeah, and he has sound effects. So whenever he like steps on a rake, you get the boing.
Yeah. And there's loads of things of him doing something stupid and then just like turning into the camera, like raising his arms and just like smiling. No. Oh, God. That boy. Right. So they do the thing. They put Norbit in a crate, basically.
Yeah.
I don't know how big Norbit is, but I think he's pretty big by this point.
Yeah.
He's at least the size of an 8-year-old. And they put him in a crate and take him upstairs to the tower, Harry and Hermione, under the invisibility cloak. And I always thought that was ridiculous because they wouldn't all fit.
Well, I mean, it does say, I think the invisibility cloak will be big enough to fit two of us and the crate. I mean...
How? How?
Ah, it's a big cloak.
It's like an invisibility, like, circus tent, rather.
It's an invisibility curtain.
It's an invisibility tarpaulin. Yeah. My dad called it a cloak, but, yeah.
He was a fat fucker.
Invisibility duvet. But, yeah, so what I thought was weird is that they, like, take a very, like, laborious route to the astronomy tower.
Do they? Do you know Hogwarts Castle? Like...
What I mean is, like, I should have just said, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
No, like, they walk it, basically. And I always thought, why wouldn't you just, from Hagrid's hut, walk to the bottom of the astronomy tower and then Wingardium Leviosa it up?
That would be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got no answer for that.
They could have literally done that, and then Harry could have just flown up on his broom and waited for Charlie.
Yeah.
Or not, well, no. Charlie's friends. I just know what Charlie's friends are like as well.
They're all characters.
Yeah, I bet they're the kind of guys who have that sort of like episode one, like Obi-Wan rat tail kind of thing. So yeah, that would have been a much like more inconspicuous and safer thing to do. It would have all been outside under the cover of night.
Yeah.
With an invisibility cloak as well.
Whereas... they made their way through the inside of the castle. Granted, it was in the middle of the night, yeah. So there wouldn't have been that many people around. Upstairs. With a dragon thrashing about in a crate. And walk past Professor McGonagall. Oh, yeah. Who they can hear talking.
It's like, she's not a dumb woman. She would have turned around and been like, huh.
Sounds like a dragon thrashing about in a crate.
I hear a thrash. Yeah. And yeah, it's all preposterous.
It is all preposterous. But nevertheless, they
we should have called this podcast Nevertheless.
Yeah. Despite everything, these events happen.
Oh my god. Yes, they reach the top of the tower.
After having seen McGonagall chastising Malfoy for...
Yeah, being out of bounds. Yeah. Bounds bed.
Yeah, being out of bed in the middle of the night. which makes them all happy. They meet Charlie's friends. They take the dragon back to Romania.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then...
I think that's the end of that chapter.
It is the end of that chapter, because the next bit, Harry and Hermione are coming downstairs looking so fucking pleased with themselves. Like, look what we did. Sans invisibility clothes.
Yeah.
And then McGonagall's like, bah, 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 bah! Yeah.
It's a classic McGonagall.
Classy Maggie. Yeah, and she's like, basically, Malfoy told me all this crap. She's with Neville, that's it. And she's like, Neville told me that he was coming to... What did she say? He was... Like, no, basically she says, right, I've been fed this cock and bull story about you trying to get rid of a dragon. Neville was like, oh, I was coming to warn you guys that Malfoy was telling McGonagall or something like that.
Yeah, and Harry, like, shakes his head.
Yeah, he's like, Neville. And then McGonagall's like, I can only think you made up this story to get Malfoy and Neville into trouble. And then Harry, like, looks at Neville to be like, no, I didn't, Neville. Yeah. I don't know if Neville picked up on that.
No, Neville's all butthurt.
Yeah.
And because all Neville was doing was trying to help.
He was just trying to be a person.
And so McGonagall is convinced that this story about the dragon is just utterly without foundation and mm-hmm. complete cock and bull. So, and does she, a smart woman, nor Dumbledore, nor anyone, really not noticed that Hagrid has had a dragon in his hut, spent the last 2 to 3 weeks with the curtains completely closed, not doing his groundskeeping duties, bringing in a seemingly endless amount of brandy and chickens? Is that just normal?
Okay, well, what in McGonagall's defence...
She probably stays as far away from Hagrid as possible.
I think she fucking hates Hagrid. She's a sensible woman. She does not put up with any tomfoolery. No. And that's all Hagrid is, you know? I can imagine she literally has no... I mean, like, she was all, like, chummy with him at the Christmas party because she was drunk.
Yeah.
That was the only time. Any other time, she's like, oh, Dumbledore, are you sure you want to trust Hagrid with this?
Yeah.
It's really important task.
I suppose. But it wouldn't necessarily have to be her. It would just be anyone.
Okay, but... Hagrid could have been doing that, like, he could have been using his umbrella to do the multiplication spell on the brandy and blood in his cabin.
So can you do that?
Yeah, because you can multiply food if you've got some of it already. You just can't, like, make it out of thin air.
Right.
So I reckon he was just sort of, like, doing, like, the refill spells on the brandy bottles and, I guess, on the chicken blood as well.
Well, it says at one point that the floor of his hut was littered with empty brandy bottles and chicken feathers.
Oh, shit, son. But where's he gonna? Because he'd about to be like bringing in like sledfuls of fucking like stuff from Hogsmeade. Maybe he's doing it all at night.
Yeah, but he's neglecting his other duties.
Yeah,
and no one notices it. It wouldn't have to be McGonagall herself that notices. But word would reach her if anyone had noticed.
But I don't think anyone does because he's gamekeeper. But what game do they have at Hogwarts?
I never really understood what gamekeeper means.
They've got a pack of thestrals in the forest that no one sees. That's it.
That's what gamekeeper means, right?
Yeah.
Keeper of the game.
Gamekeeper's like, all right, so I've got Cluedo, got Monopoly.
I've never really
all
thought...
All the pieces are still there, sorry.
I've kept them. My job.
I've
never really thought much about what gamekeeper means because he's also keeper of the keys.
Yeah, what keys?
I guess
he has the keys to the gates at the bottom.
Yeah, but what good are fucking keys when first years know Alohomora?
For real. I don't think there was a keeper of anything, and then when he got expelled, Dumbledore was like, you can be this and I'll pay you this, and I think he knew it'd be better to have Hagrid there doing things than have him let loose in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a responsibility to keep this fucking oaf out of civilized society.
Oh my god. Yeah, I just think everyone just like willfully ignores him. So I think that's why he's been allowed to get away with all the crap he does for so long.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Right, so my first big point about this chapter, right?
Yeah, I know what's coming.
Yeah. She takes 50 points each from each of them for being out of bed and only gave 5 for defeating the troll. How is that fair? Or how does that make any kind of sense?
It is fucking brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a bit... I mean, I know they're... Because she doesn't know anything. She refuses to believe anything about the dragon.
They're just out of bed.
They're out of bed after it at night.
Yeah.
Which, like, is, yeah, fine, big deal in a boarding school. But, I mean,
I'm
to
sure
just...
it happens all the fucking time.
Yeah. She's so... She's clucky about it.
Yeah, because that's, like, 150 points just gone straight away.
From her own house as well.
Yeah, I just thought that was massive. I can only imagine, right?
Wait, doesn't Slytherin lose 50 points as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, yet they still end up in the lead.
Yeah, because they probably had a ton more. Yeah. I feel like Snape fucking gives them points just for showing up.
Yeah.
He's such an arsehole. I hate that man so much. Yeah, I feel like maybe she is acting that severely. I feel like maybe she was interrupted, like, from something that night.
What, her and Flitwick?
Her and Flitwick were having a bit of, like, a Highland jig, you know? yeah, so she was like, you know, I was about to try and do a Scottish accent, and then I remembered that I can't do one.
We tried in a previous episode. It didn't make it to the final edit.
Oh, God. Yeah, I just think she was, like, super angry. Maybe she was about to reach, like, a climax for the first time in, like, 20-odd years.
She needs it as well.
She does need it. I feel like if she had a good orgasm, she would take down that tight bun, shake it free, be like, you know, guys, for Transfiguration today, let's just turn everything into candy.
I feel like a similar remedy could work for Snape.
I feel like Snape is the kind of guy who would cry when he ejaculates. You know, it would be...
Lily.
Yeah. He's like, no, my name's Crab. Like, oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot you were here. Be gone,
I
now, boy.
Forgot you were here. I wondered why there was so much more of you than before. You're very squidgy.
Yet supple.
Oh, God. The folds of your thighs are almost like a virgin.
Oh, God, what some people will do for some extra points.
Oh, eh? Snape.
Snape.
God's sake, that's weird. You can't do that to the students.
So, yeah, that happens. But we do finally get the answer to our question, which is that Quidditch and house points are the same points.
Yes. I mean, I feel like that's not consistent throughout the series, but... Now I'm tuned into it.
Hmm.
I'll listen out. But I just assumed they were separate things, and maybe that was wrong assumption on my part.
But are you definitely sure that there is a Quidditch?
Well, cup? No. Now that we're shining a light on it, no, I'm not.
Because I felt like when you said that, I felt like I sort of invented a memory of them like holding like a Quidditch cup at some point.
But yeah.
I don't know if that. I think it might just be the house cup is the only cup.
And so that. So that then does give some value to the points that the Chasers score in the game in school, but outside in the main Quidditch leagues, there's no house points there.
But I feel like in the main Quidditch leagues, I bet you that the people who score like the normal points are like, they do it like pretty rapid succession.
They would have to for it to be worth anything.
Yeah, because they're like pros, do you know what I mean? So I imagine it's like boom, 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 boom. They've like, within the first like couple of minutes, they've got up like 70 points on one side.
Yeah, but then, you know, the beaters and the keepers are pros as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I feel like everyone's at such a top like level that it's not... That getting the snitch, I reckon, is not always a guarantee of winning the game.
I mean, it must be. That's not. We don't really see that those kinds of score differences in the book. I mean, while they're at school.
Yeah.
But it must be out in the wider world. It, there must be scores of, you know, 560 to 320,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and yeah, just cause, and I think that's maybe why she made such a point of having it at the Quidditch World Cup, just to show that it does happen.
Yeah,
and I reckon it's probably a lot more common than we think.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, so they, so the next day, everyone's treating Harry like a pariah.
Yes.
Like a social piranha.
Like a social piranha. Feisty.
And Ron's like, nah, it's all right. Like, Fred and George lose points all the time and everyone likes them, but Harry seems to be getting quite a rough deal. Like, the Quidditch team won't even refer to him by name.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh. Yeah. I mean, even Fred and George... I reckon Fred and George wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I reckon they're just like, look, we only play this so that we don't, you know, kill things in our spare time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, I don't reckon they would be among the crew that's completely turning their backs on Harry.
No, I reckon that they probably, like, congratulated him.
Yeah, probably.
They're like, you may, now you're really one of us.
Yeah, like, shit, we got to try and top that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I can understand, because, like, basically Harry negated their entire last match, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
or like almost, at least, because he's like, he basically cancelled out his catching of the snitch.
Well, yeah, and there weren't any goals scored, I don't think.
Oh really?
Because Harry
oh shit, yeah, so they might as well just not played.
Yeah,
that's harsh.
Yeah.
I bet McGonagall regretted that the next day.
Probably. It did seem a bit hasty.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, but they're all revising, trying their best to revise. They're trying their best to revise, and there's mention of goblin rebellions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, trying to remember dates of various bits.
Oh, yes,
and dates of goblin rebellions. And I'm like, I want to know about goblin rebellions. I want to know more about the goblins, man. They
Do
sound
you know
awesome.
What? I remember years ago. This was just after Book 7 came out. That on J.K. Rowling's website, so this is way before Pottermore, you could do your owls and do your NEWTs. And I remember trying to do the NEWTs, I think, and you would have had to, I think there were reading materials that had been previously published on the site, because the questions were like, okay, so in the, like, Rebellion of 16, whatever, so-and-so and so-and-so did this thing. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so I think that there was, she did actually make, like, proper, like, literature about all of these different things that had happened.
Real deep lore.
Yeah, and I'm sort of wondering what's, like, happened to all that information now. But I was like, yeah, so I think it is out there to be discovered if you actually go looking for it. So maybe that can be your homework, Tom. To read all about the Goblin Rebellions.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe we can make it up, because I bet no one would know.
There'll be some people who know.
Oh, if you're the kind of person who knows, I don't want you listening to this podcast.
Nah, would you please, please listen.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, someone.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
One day we'll have a Patreon and we will say that not as a joke.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, so they get told on that day that their punishment, no, that they're going to have a detention and to meet Filch. Is it in the Great Hall by the main entrance?
I don't know, something like that at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I think there's a bit before that where Harry hears some, like, someone kind of whimpering from inside a classroom.
Yes. Yeah, it's Quirrell.
Yeah, and it's Quirrell, and Harry's convinced that it's Quirrell, like, giving in to Snape.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought, it is amazing how it's always Harry that happens to hear these things.
Maybe other people do, but they're like, oh, it's just fucking Quirrell being weird again.
Yeah, but Harry's just got insight into things, and so he has more context for it, maybe.
Yeah,
But Harry just happened to be sort of hanging around after the Quidditch match and saw Snape coming down towards the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't he by Hagrid's when he was sort of chilling out, wasn't he?
Oh, maybe.
It was something like, I mean, Harry just likes to fucking be off on his own doing things and being independent.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why you always happen to be in a place where someone else also thinks they're on their own. Because that happens quite a few times in the books, that Harry's off being like Harry, and then someone else thinks they're alone and then says something to themselves.
Yeah.
So I just think that's like the kind of thing that he would do.
Yeah, maybe. But it's just, you know, it's coincidence.
Coincidence. And the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, so they go down for their detention. One of the things I wrote down was this whole detention is ridiculous.
Yes.
And they're doing it with Hagrid, which Harry is inexplicably pleased about.
Yeah. And like Filch says, you know, don't think you're going to be having a good time because you're going into the forest.
Yeah.
And then Malfoy's like, what? Which is the appropriate reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I straight away, I just thought, how is any of this, the points for detention, none of this is appropriate for the crime that was committed.
No.
It's like, if you pushed a fellow student down the stairs and they almost died, yeah, okay. You were just out of bed at night. And you're having to be out of bed at night again to go and do your detention. So yeah. What is the harm? So I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But Harry and Hermione are all forlorn. And Harry says, looks at Hermione feeling forlorn and says, she says, like, he knew that Hermione felt the same, that they deserved what they got. And I sort of thought, really? It wasn't really their fault.
Yeah.
It was Hagrid's fault.
Yeah, completely.
The whole thing's Hagrid's fault.
Yeah.
And they spend their detention with him, and he doesn't acknowledge that. Doesn't show any kind of...
That's so true.
He doesn't even show any sense that any of it is his fault.
Yeah, and but he doesn't say he's like sorry at any point.
No, and all of it is entirely his fault.
Ah, but Harry he's blinded by the fact that the guy like saved his life. You know.
Yeah.
They get scared and stuff, and so they go into the forest. And Hagrid says nothing in there will hurt them if they're with him. And I thought, why? What did Hagrid do to earn the trust of the various like things in the forest?
Yeah,
that's. I'm just sort of wondering what like.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, he's, you know, gamekeeper. He's in there a lot. He knows all the centaurs by name.
I mean, I guess so. But why do they like him?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's kind to them. But what do they need from him?
Yeah, they don't need anything.
They don't need anything from him.
And, like, dangerous animals are dangerous animals, and they're not going to, like, respond positively to Hagrid just because he likes them.
Yeah.
Well, also, what dangerous animals are in there? We literally only find out about, like, giant spiders and centaurs.
Well, like, they say werewolves.
I don't think that's true.
Maybe not. They're only dangerous, like, once a month anyway.
Yeah. And where do they live as humans the rest of the time?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there aren't werewolves in there for shit. There aren't, like, humans living in there, like, 26 days of the month just foraging as humans.
Oh, God, what a miserable life.
And then Harry and Hermione and Hagrid see some mysterious shadow. Mm. And Hagrid's like, get behind this tree! And they see something and it kind of skulks away.
Yeah.
And it's all mysterious. And then a little bit later on, like after they've encountered, I'm jumping a little bit, but after they've encountered the centaurs, Harry says, do you think that thing we saw was just a centaur? And Harry says, no, it weren't no centaur, it weren't no werewolf neither or something. Mm. He says, I'll wager whatever that was what's killing the unicorn.
Yeah.
Which, if we haven't said it, is why they're in the forest.
Oh, yes. They're in the forest because unicorns are dying.
Yeah, and then you find what's killing them. Always says, I'll wager whatever that was is whatever was killing the unicorn. I've never heard anything like it. He says, I've never heard anything like it. It's a man in a cloak.
Yeah. And even though we know it's just like Voldemort in the back of Quirrell's head. Spoilers. Yeah. Like, Voldemort doesn't sound any particular way.
It's Quirrell in a cloak.
Yeah.
He's never heard anything like it.
I mean, maybe Quirrell had, like, his phone playing some music. And Hagrid's like, I've never heard anything like that.
Yeah, Harry's like, yeah.
You know, but it would have been 1991, so he would have had, like, a boombox.
Boombox, yeah.
Just playing, like, NWA, just fight the police.
Oh, just doing shots of unicorn blood.
Oh my god. Yeah, that is a weird thing for Hagrid to say.
Yeah.
Okay, but if they're going, because I totally forgot that's why they're in the forest. Why would you bring children to go and investigate what is killing unicorns?
Something that's clearly very, very evil and desperate. And like, yeah.
That is just, this is not a safe place for children. And I don't mean the forest, I mean Hogwarts. Like, seriously. You're out of bed, so I'm going to send you into the Forbidden Forest at night to find out what is murdering the most innocent beings in the world. And 50 points from your house.
Yeah, oh, shit, each. Son. Yeah. And you're not going to be under the supervision of a powerful wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So none of it makes any sense. Malfoy and Neville have gone off with Fang. Malfoy thinks it's funny, scares Neville. They send up the red sparks to say, come and help, and Hagrid goes and gets them. And they say, stop me if you've got anything to say.
I'm just... I was going to say, why is, like, the red spark spell a spell that you seem to be able to know at any point of, like, your wizarding learning, and also a spell that you don't need a spell for? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're just... Like, there is no spell for the red sparks. You just point and it happens. Like,
yeah, they don't say... use this spell or whatever, they just said send up red sparks. So it's just, maybe you can just produce minor, maybe they have cantrips. They're using minor illusion.
Yeah, so that happens, and I did think Malfoy, now is not the time to be, you know,
being a twat.
Yeah And also I do think Neville, you would have had time in between realizing it was Malfoy and shooting your wand to like not shoot your wand.
Yeah, it's Neville going off prematurely again.
Das Neville.
Yeah.
Because he shoots too soon and it's not a full moon, it's Neville.
Mad rhymes.
That happens. Hagrid gets mad at Malfoy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a bit... Again, I'm just reiterating things I've already said. But while Hagrid's rushing off to get Neville, Harry and Hermione are looking at each other, feeling, like, tremendously guilty, both knowing that it was their fault that Neville's here. It's not. It's Hagrid's fault.
Yeah, it's Hagrid's fault. And do you know what? Neville can take responsibility for himself. He didn't have to get involved.
Yeah.
He could have just fucking stayed in his bed.
Yeah.
You know, doing what Neville does best. So Hagrid bounds after to where the sparks are. He rescues Neville from Malfoy, basically.
Yeah.
Then he calls Malfoy an idiot, and he makes Harry go with Malfoy to investigate what's killing the unicorns, while him, Hermione, and Neville go and in the other direction to investigate. Do the two boys have the dog?
Or yeah.
They do. Okay, so they go off this way, and they get into a clearing, and they see the dead unicorn, and it's described as being the most beautiful and sad thing that Harry's ever seen.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite poetic, because it really sort of painted the picture of what it must have looked like. And then he sees a rustling in a bush, and then this cloaked figure, like, snakes across the ground, which... made no sense to me, because this is still Quirrell.
Does it snake across the ground?
Yeah, he said it's like lit, it's like flat on the ground almost, and like it moves across the ground in a snake-like fashion, like rustling the leaves.
Maybe this... Does Quirrell say that he had to, that he has been drinking unicorn blood, or is it like... I mean, Voldemort can't take physical form?
Yeah, he's literally just a spectre. So but he can't drink anything because he's not physical at all. He's not corporeal. And which also made me wonder then, is Quirrell drinking this with his mouth, or is he drinking it through the back of his head?
Interesting.
So he's just walking
backwards.
Yeah. Quirrell moon walked into the glade. Yeah. Oh god, it's even more frightening imagining Michael Jackson doing this than imagining like Quirrell. So they see that, and then the thing bends over the unicorn and starts drinking its blood, And Malfoy screams and runs away. The figure looks up and sees Harry. And then it comes towards Harry very quickly.
And his scar hurts.
Yeah. Bad.
Yeah, our scar hurts real bad.
Yeah. And then a big horse thing jumps over Harry's head. Turns out to be a centaur. And, like, kind of bats the thing away. And the thing, like, scuttles away.
Yeah. Firenze.
Yeah. I've got a bit of a crush on Firenze.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like that sort of like Aryan look that he has.
Oh, I can't really remember what any of them actually look like.
No, they describe Firenze. He's got like really blonde hair and like sapphire blue eyes. Yeah, so Firenze goes, oh, that was a bad thing. Ride on my back and I'll whisk you away. Which he does.
Which he does. And he runs into Bane and Ronan.
Yes.
Who are the cheating. other... Yeah, he runs into another centaur and Ronan Keating's just also hangs out, yeah, in the forest.
Like, there's holy words. Like, just get out of here, man. Yeah, just tell me your story.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
And I think the interaction between the centaurs is awesome.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
They clearly have their own culture and way of doing things, and they're star readers, and they hint towards what they know is going to happen, and things they know are going to play out, and that they can't, and the fact they all have differing viewpoints on it. Bane gets really angry at Firenze, and Firenze says, I'm going to fight whatever evil is in this forest with humans or without humans. And I think centaurs are another of the Wizarding World's creatures that I would love to know more about. It seems like their lore would be awesome.
Do you know what? I am interested because basically when they first run into them is a little bit earlier than this. Hagrid bumps into Ronan Keane and Bane. Is it Bane?
He
is
Bane. Yeah.
Yeah, and they say, oh, like, Mercury's especially red tonight. And they keep on, like, repeating it, and Hagrid hasn't... One of the very few things that Hagrid has no time for, because he's like, oh, they're just speaking riddles and stuff. And yeah, so during their whole interaction with the three of the centaurs, they're like, oh, don't you know there's bad shit, like, you know, on the horizon or whatever, and we can't get involved in all this stuff. And my first thought was, if you have, what is the point of having this knowledge of future things if you're not going to do anything about it? There's no point in knowing shit that's going to happen if you're just going to keep it all to yourself. What is the point? It just seemed like a useless endeavour to find out things.
Well, it seems like Firenze might think along those lines as well.
Yeah, I think that's why Firenze is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I reckon, this just my, you know, me speculating, but I reckon there's probably a lot of division in the centaur world about that kind of thing, about whether they should get involved. And do they get involved in the end?
I think they did because they do, like, I want to say they did because, like, pretty much everything bad and good from that forest showed up in the final battle. But who's to know for sure? Plus, they fucking just love a good fight, to be fair. So I think they probably did. Yeah, but, and I sort of wonder as well if maybe, because Firenze's younger than the others, if that's why he's a bit more progressive.
Yeah.
Basically, they chastise him as well for letting Harry ride on his back.
Yeah, they do.
He's like, but we need to get Harry out of here. And they're like, are you some common mule? And it's like, look, guys, you are half horse. Like, get over it. So, yeah, I can't remember what happens after that.
They, do they see Ron and tell him about it? Yeah.
I mean, probably.
Yeah.
I can't imagine they got back and was like, yeah, nothing happened.
Yeah, they see Ron and tell him about it. And they put together that Snape wants the Philosopher's Stone. Oh, because that's it. Firenze tells Harry, it's like, can you think of no one that is that desperate for power that has, you know, just tiding themselves over until they can return to power.
Yeah.
So Harry puts the pieces together that it's Voldemort, and they deduce that Snape wants the stone for Voldemort. Which actually, I know we've mentioned Voldemort a couple of times on the pod, but I don't think Voldemort has been mentioned at all since Hagrid told Harry his, you know, his past.
Yeah, I guess so. Because doesn't Frenzy say something about like a great evil is about to return or something like that?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah. So, because basically we forgot actually, Frenzy tells Harry what the unicorn blood is all about. And it's if you drink unicorn blood, it will keep you from dying, but it will give you a cursed life, a half life. And so, yeah, then he says, well, you said, can you think of no one who'd be willing to deal with that until they could drink something else? My question was, is I wonder if Voldemort had doomed himself to ultimate defeat in the end by drinking the unicorn blood now.
Ooh.
Because he doesn't ever get to drink the elixir of life. And so I wonder if, because he had that unicorn blood, if that meant that he was always destined to fail by the end of the series.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That affected the prophecy or whatever. Yeah,
because it's not like he ever got away from the cursed life of the unicorn blood. No one's immune to it. I mean,
unless the ritual that ends up bringing him back at the end of book four sort of, I don't know, cancels it out somehow.
It probably did.
Or maybe it would just gave Quirrell a
fair, maybe, yeah. But then it's odd, like, why would... Okay, this is a weird thing. Why did Quirrell even need to drink the unicorn blood anyway? Because if Voldemort is just a spectre, it's not as if he can die. What did he need the blood for at all?
Yeah, that is because he's still got the Horcruxes in place.
Yeah, so he's not going anywhere. He's just got to get the Philosopher's Stone to restore his body. His spirit is still very much there. What was the unicorn blood for? Do you think it was to maintain Quirrell?
Maybe, or maybe he was actually... Maybe Voldemort was actually, like, deteriorating and has been drinking unicorn blood for, like, 13 years or whatever in different parts of the world.
I don't reckon that's true.
No?
No. No, because Voldemort, he possessed, like, different animals and things like that. I don't think he possessed any other humans before Quirrell.
Animals can kill unicorns.
I guess so. But I don't know if there's any unicorns in Albania. I imagine it's...
Let's go and find out.
Vampires and gypsies. Yeah, I reckon... But if that was the case, then you would think, oh, what's the point of having a Horcrux if I always need, like, to fucking have a stash of unicorn blood as well?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, you wouldn't if you had a body.
I don't think this is true.
No.
I reckon you stay as, like, a spectre until you can find a host. I don't... Because you can't move on anywhere. So you can't die or disintegrate or anything. You're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon that's the case. Yeah, so maybe the unicorn blood was to keep Quirrell from breaking down. Yeah, because... Yes, oh my God. Yeah, because when Voldemort used to possess animals, they never lasted very long because he would always like sort of burn through them.
Right.
So I reckon that's what was happening to Quirrell. That's why he was drinking the unicorn blood. Yeah.
Okay, so it's for Quirrell, not for Voldemort specifically.
I think so, yeah.
All right, that makes sense. I get on board with that.
Yeah.
But Harry thinks that it's Snape.
Yeah.
Who is for some reason drinking unicorn blood and wants the Philosopher's Stone to bring Voldemort back to power. Yeah. And they say, okay, now we go to Dumbledore. They try to in the next chapter and he's not there, and that's when they decide to go through the trapdoor themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Okay.
But they decide at the end of this chapter, like, okay, shit's getting real now. It's time to go to Dumbledore.
Yeah. Go and tell the capital D.
Yeah, the D. Yeah.
In every way. Yeah, okay, so that brings us to the end of that chapter.
It does.
And the end of this episode.
Yes. So, yeah, that's that for this week of Poorly Read. How do we sign off?
We sign off with a swish and a flick. Yeah, so if you want to email in anything, if you have any questions, if you have any corrections... Just email us at poorlyread@gmail.com. Check out our Instagram and our Twitter at poorlyreadpod. And yeah, come back next week for more exciting tales from the mouths of Tom and Gifton.
Yeah, we're going to be closing off the book with chapters 16 and 17, Through the Trapdoor and The Man with Two Faces.
Yeah, ooh, spooky.
Wonder what's going to happen.
So, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's Hagrid.
Bye-bye.